Please turn to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51, please. Christy, you want to do that at the end, that picture? Okay. Psalm 51, please. I did speak to Pastor Warren briefly on Wednesday. They are there in Peru having a good time there. And they made it safely, and so they'll be there for a couple of weeks, and returning sometime the week of the 18th. I'm not sure the exact day, but sometime that week, probably later on in the week. So keep them in your prayers for safety and all of that, but they're on vacation and just having a restful, recuperating time. Psalm 51, please. Let's stand together as we read the scripture, if you would, please. David writes in Psalm 51, says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and then in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." Have you noticed how many times David is praying and asking God in many different ways to deal with his sin, his iniquity, his transgressions? He says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." This is a psalm of David, a prayer. That David prays to God, and of course, at the end of the verse, he talks about him, about God restoring Jerusalem. That is not, of course, that doesn't apply to us directly as far as, you know, we're not going to pray. We can pray for Zion, we can pray for Israel, we can pray for Jerusalem, but that is something that is yet future. This morning, what I want to focus on in this passage as we look at this prayer of David, I've entitled this A Christian Prayer, A Christian Prayer of Confession, Repentance, and Forgiveness. Father, I pray that you would meet with us. I pray that you would use me, guide my words, that I might be able to present your word to your people, that you, your Holy Spirit, would do a work in our midst. May you bless, may you work, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The story is told of two men who lived in the same town. One man was very, very rich. He had many herds, many flocks, sheep, cattle. The other man was extremely poor. All the poor man had was one little lamb which he had bought with a little bit of money that he was able to scrape together. He raised the little lamb along with his own children, feeding the lamb food and water from his own table. The lamb became part of the family like another daughter to him. Then one day, the rich man had a guest come to town and stayed with the rich man. The rich man wanted to wine and dine his guest. He wanted to give him a good meal. But he did not want to use an animal from his own flocks. So he took the poor man's only lamb, slaughtered it, cooked it, and fed it to his guests. You may have recognized the story as the story that Nathan the prophet told to King David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And Nathan comes to David the king and tells him this story, and David becomes irate. How could this man do this thing? And David became very angry and said that this rich man deserved to die for what he had done. And that he commanded that the man should pay back four times what he had taken. And Nathan the prophet pointed at King David and said, "You are the man." You see, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had taken another man's wife. King David, who had all kinds of riches. King David, who had many wives. Not that that was good or right. Not that that followed God's plan and God's design and God's commands. In fact, we read in the Old Testament that kings were not to do this. The kings of Israel were not to do this like the other nations did. And yet King David had many wives. And yet here he is, he commits adultery with another man's wife, and then he tries to cover it up by murdering Uriah, her husband. A year has passed. A whole year before Nathan finally confronts David about his sin of stealing another man's wife and then having him murdered. That is what this psalm is about. We come to Psalm 51 and we find this prayer of David. It's a prayer of confession, and that's what this prayer of confession is all about. Would you look with me above verse 1? most of you probably in your Bibles have a title preceding this psalm. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. These titles of the psalms here are part of the original text of the manuscripts. Most scholars consider this to be part of the text of Scripture. Why they didn't start with that as verse 1, I do not know when they put the verse and chapter divisions in. But this is part of the text. And so we see here that Psalm 51 is this prayer of David after Nathan the prophet comes to King David and says, you are the man. Some of you might be thinking, well, then what does this psalm have to do with me? This psalm or this prayer, this Christian prayer of confession, repentance, and forgiveness is for someone who's really blown it. But I've never done anything like that. I mean, I've never committed adultery. I've never murdered. I've never robbed a bank. Oh, maybe I've told a white lie or two. But I've never done anything that bad. Of course, this psalm, Psalm 51, this Christian prayer of confession, is for that person that's really blown it, for sure, like David. But some of us might have a very shallow and very inadequate view of our sin and of God's mercy. Well, this psalm, this prayer is for that person too. Some of us might think we're too holy or mature to really blow it like that. But this psalm, or this prayer of confession, is for that person as well. Some of us might have fallen into such terrible sin, we think that there's no hope for us to be restored. As David prayed, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Well, this prayer is for that person as well. Some of us may feel we can't be forgiven or be useful to God anymore or again. This psalm, this prayer is for that person. Some of us can't seem to overcome a besetting daily sin in our lives. Well, this psalm, this prayer is for that person too. You see, my friend, the issue is not whether Christians sin or not. We do. You do. I do. The issue is whether we're comfortable. Whether we're comfortable with and love our sin. Or we hate our sin and we forsake it. A 19th century, back in the 1800s, a Scottish pastor, said this: the difference between a converted person and an unconverted person is not that one sins and the other does not. It's not the difference. The difference between a converted person and an unconverted person is not whether or not they sin, but that the one takes part in his cherished sins against a dreaded God. The other takes part with a reconciled God against his hated sins. So this psalm, this prayer is for you. It is for me. And it helps us to understand true, genuine confession and repentance. If you're a believer here this morning, you must understand that repentance is not something we do once and then we're done. Yes, there's a point in time when you're saved, you're justified, God saves you, you call upon him, and he saves you in a, a point in time and you repent of your sin, you turn to him in faith, you trust Christ as your Savior. And that is, repentance is part of our initial salvation. It's part of the initial response for salvation and God saving us, justifying us. And for the unsaved person, that's what needs to happen. You need to repent of your sin, acknowledge it before a holy God, realize that you are condemned before a holy God. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and his death on the cross for your sins. And place your faith and trust in him. But for those who have trusted Christ and are believers, in the life of a believer, repentance, it's not a one-time thing. Repentance is an ongoing attitude. It's an ongoing prayer. It's the ongoing posture. Repentance is the ongoing activity in the life of a believer. Repentance is turning from your sin and turning to God. It's not feeling sorry for yourself. It's being convicted, inwardly humbled, visibly changed in your life. Repentance is one of the very foundations from the moment of salvation. It's the very foundations of the Christian life as we live it out. Martin Luther said, the whole of the Christian's life is to be one of repentance. So what is a Christian prayer of confession, repentance, and forgiveness? What does it look like? Well, we have the example of David's prayer right here in Psalm 51. I want you to notice, first of all, it is a prayer that is directed toward God. When we sin, we often sin against people, do we not? But ultimately, our sin is against a holy God. We transgress his laws. And so a Christian prayer of confession is a prayer that's directed toward God. Notice in verse 1, if you will, please. David says, have mercy upon me, O God. Look at verse number 10. David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. In verse 14, David says, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed or blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Verse 15, he says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. In verse 17, the sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. This entire prayer is directed toward God. David does not turn to a priest. He doesn't turn to rituals and ceremonies about his sin. He doesn't turn to beating himself up. He doesn't turn to excuses. Oh, we like to make excuses for our sins, don't we? He doesn't turn to blaming others. Oh, we like to do that too. He doesn't point fingers, etc., etc., etc. He comes to God. This prayer of confession is a prayer that is directed toward God. And as a Christian, the Christian prayer, I'm going to assume that we're believers. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. We've repented of our sin initially at salvation. But throughout our lives, we have this posture, we have this activity, we have this attitude of repentance. And it's a prayer of confession that is directed to God. But what else is this Christian prayer? Number two, it's not only a prayer that's directed to God. Number two, a Christian prayer of confession, repentance, and forgiveness. What is it? It's a prayer that appeals, it appeals to God's character. It appeals to his goodness. It appeals to God's kindness toward us. It appeals to God's mercy. God is good. God is merciful. God is gracious. Now, he's also holy. So we have a problem here, because he is holy. He is just. Therefore, he cannot simply overlook sin. But through the cross, through Christ, through salvation, we see that God can be both just and the justifier. And so the Christian prayer of confession is a prayer that appeals to God's character of goodness, kindness, and mercy. David does this in this prayer. Look at verse 1. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." According to what? According to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So David doesn't appeal to God's justice, because if God was going to have justice against David for his adultery and murder, there would be no hope for David. I mean, he really messed up. But he appeals to God's character of goodness, kindness, mercy, grace. He doesn't appeal to his own character of goodness. I'm sure there were positive qualities. Yes, he committed adultery. Yes, he committed murder. But I'm sure there were good things about David. David doesn't appeal, but God, look at these other things that I've done. No, David doesn't appeal to that. He appeals to God's character. So David doesn't appeal to his own goodness. He doesn't appeal to his own good works. He doesn't appeal to, oh God, look at how wonderful I am. No, David asks for forgiveness based on the multitude of God's abundant mercy. Think about this. The scripture never speaks of God being rich in wrath. But he is rich in mercy. Think about that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." We talked about that a little bit earlier. But how can he extend to the sinner his mercy and his love? How does he do that? Verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And so it's through the cross, it's through his Son, it's through Jesus Christ that we can experience the rich mercy that God offers. We can experience his great love with which he loved us through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Christian prayer of confession is a prayer that is directed to God. It's a prayer that appeals to God's character. God's mercy is greater than our deepest sin. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "Men are greatly terrified at the multitude of their sins, but here is comfort. Our God has multitude of mercies. If our sins be in number as the hairs on our head," he said, "God's mercies are as the stars of heaven." So a Christian prayer of confession is directed toward God. A Christian prayer of confession appeals to God's mercies, number three, or God's character. Number three, a prayer, it's a prayer that acknowledges one's transgressions of God's law. A prayer that acknowledges one's sin. It's a prayer that acknowledges my sin, my sinfulness against God himself. It's a prayer that acknowledges that I am a sinner before a holy, righteous God. Notice what David says in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2. So David says, it's my transgressions. I have transgressed against God's laws. Verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Notice all the different words that David uses to describe his wickedness, his sin, what he had done. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is always before me, is ever before me. Against thee, David says, and thee only have I sinned. Now, did David sin against Bathsheba? Well, yeah. Did David sin against Uriah? Well, yeah. But ultimately, his sin was against God. His transgression was against God's laws. His iniquity was against God. Against thee, verse 4, David says, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He says in verse 5, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are born as sinners is the idea there. It's not that his mother committed sin and that's what conceived. That's not the idea. The idea being that he was born in sin. Verse 9, David says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. It's not just adultery and murder that separates us from God, though. Every sin is treason against our Creator. So lest we think we're better than David, we must recognize that our sin is just as wicked in God's eyes. It's easy to see the sins of other people, isn't it? But how about seeing my own sin? Am I able to do that? Am I willing to do that? Do I acknowledge my sin before a holy God? So I haven't committed murder. So I haven't committed adultery. I haven't robbed a bank. But what have I done that transgresses God's law? That is what I must acknowledge. That is what a Christian prayer of confession does. It acknowledges my transgressions of God's law. It's easy to see the sins of others, but seeing our own sin is hard, maybe painful. It took David a year and a prophet from God to be able to see his own sin. Prior to that, you know, that year, I mean, David must, you know, did he not think about it? Did he not feel guilty? I have no idea. I don't know if he felt guilty about it or not. But until Nathan the prophet came to him and pointed it out and told him this story, David seemed to be living life peacefully, apparently. But then we find this wonderful prayer, Psalm 51, of confession. It's a Christian prayer of confession. It took David a year and a prophet from God to be able to see his sin. When he finally does, he uses very strong language to describe his sin. Are you able to do the same about your sin? He turns in repentance, refusing to blame shift or make excuses. He acknowledges it and owns up. He takes responsibility. He admits his sin. And that's what a Christian prayer of confession is. We own it. We take responsibility for it. We acknowledge, I have broken God's law. What will it take for you and I to see our sin? How will we respond when we do see it? You see, sin is always first against God, and God is right to judge. Our sin is first and ultimately against God. As David says, against you, and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. God has the right to judge our sin. He is just in doing so. David didn't go from being innocent to suddenly committing murder. It never happens that way. We sin step by step, smaller to greater. The first step is always cheating on God. What if, think about David's situation. What if David repented of his lust before he sent for Bathsheba? What if he repented of his self-assurance before he stayed home alone from the battle? What if David repented of his pride before he stood there overlooking the city he ruled? You don't just all of a sudden commit horrendous sin. It takes little steps. And if we repent earlier, recognizing, acknowledging, and repenting of our sin earlier, how much safer would we be? So it's a prayer. What is a Christian prayer of confession? It's a prayer directed to God. It's a prayer that acknowledges, or that appeals to God's character. It's a prayer that acknowledges our transgression of God's laws. Number four, it's a prayer that calls upon God's mercy and forgiveness. David says in verse 1, have mercy upon me. He calls to God, God, please. It's a pleading, it's a begging, it's a prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God. End of verse 2, blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, notice all the different analogies he's using about blotting out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. This is a beautiful one that we often quote. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me in verse 7. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In verse 9, he talks about God hiding his face from my sins, and again, blotting out all my iniquities. Verse 10, he talks about creating a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. Verse 14, deliver me from the blood guiltiness. And so we see that David calls upon God's mercy and forgiveness. And number five, a Christian prayer of confession. And lastly, it's a prayer that arises from brokenness and contrition. David says in verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice. Here David was living in this period of time of the Israelites where they were commanded to do all these sacrifices, sacrifices for their sin, sacrifices on a daily basis. When they commit sin, they bring the lambs for an atonement for there was no temple yet, but to the sanctuary at that time of David's life. And they were to do all these sacrifices. But David here says it's not sacrifices that you desire. Else would I give it in verse 16. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. He says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are what? A broken spirit. What God desires is a broken and a contrite heart, O God, and thou wilt not despise that. He wants us to acknowledge our sins, to repent of our sins, to call upon him for his mercy, appealing to his character, So a Christian prayer of confession is a prayer that arises from a brokenness, a contrition, being contrite because of our sin. David says in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions," and notice this, he says, "my sin is always before me." Have you ever done something and it just kind of keeps eating at you and eating at you and eating at you? And then maybe you're a little kid and you've done something wrong and it bothers you and it bothers you and it bothers you until finally you go and confess it to your parents and they didn't even know about it because it just was bothering you so much. Or maybe you became an adult and told your parents, I don't know. But David says, "My sin is always before me." Verse 8, "Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice." There's this idea of being broken over our sin. You see, this is a Christian prayer of confession, repentance, and forgiveness. If you are a Christian, this is your posture toward your sin and toward God. If you are a Christian, this is your ongoing attitude in your life. If you are a Christian, this is your prayer of confession, a Christian prayer of confession, repentance, and forgiveness. And you call upon God, appealing to God's character, broken and contrite, God, thou wilt not despise. A Christian prayer of confession. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this example of David. We can't wait. We look forward to that day in glory when we have glorified bodies and sin and the effects of sin are eradicated. We will no longer have this struggle. But in the meantime, we have this example of a Christian prayer of confession, repentance, forgiveness, whereby we can experience your goodness, your mercy, your grace in our lives. We thank you for it. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your Son. May you help us in our Christian lives to have this attitude, posture, activity on a regular basis as we live out the Christian life. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.